Some of you no doubt remember those verses from our last series of studies on Sunday morning, those Christian graces, eight graces that are required of the one who would be faithful, found so by God, and the one who would be growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the idea of the lesson this morning. We're still talking about that closer walk with God. And one thing I know is if we're not getting closer to God, we're not growing in the knowledge of Christ, and vice versa. If you're not growing in the knowledge of Christ, you're not growing closer in your walk with God. It's an important element. Because it's an important element is seen in the third chapter of 2 John in verses 17 and 18. Did I say John? I meant Peter. See, I'm not perfect either. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. And the last thing he says in verse 18 is, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It is a command. But now grow in the knowledge of. Building on faith, striving for virtue, increasing in our knowledge, having ability for self-control, being strong in our perseverance, seeking after godliness, exercising brotherly kindness, and expressing love in all the above. If you notice when John read those virtues, as he read through that passage, the words and to, A-N-D, and T-O, were used with every one of those. Adding to, adding to, adding to. And to kindness, add. And to self-control, add. They work in conjunction. You can't just pick and choose the ones you like and be done with the rest of them. It don't work that way, does it, Carl? You have to add them all together. And as we grow in this knowledge of Christ, adding these qualities to our life helps us in that endeavor. And we need to grow in all the above. And there's reasons. Someone might say, well, why is this so important? Peter has given us reasons that it's important. In the first few verses, in verse 2, for instance, he says, grace and peace are multiplied in this knowledge. Read verse 2 with me. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus. Grace is a common greeting in the letters we find in the New Testament by Paul and John and others. Grace requests God unmerited favor upon those whom a letter is addressed to, the addressee. That being said, grace being God's unmerited favor, then peace would be the result of God's unmerited favor given to those whom the letter is addressed to. If you want the peace that surpasses understanding, that comes out of God's grace. It doesn't just happen by osmosis. There's a happening reason for it. Without God's grace, you could have no peace that surpasses understanding. It wouldn't happen. These two blessings are multiplied. It's one thing to have grace and peace. It's quite something else to have them multiplied in your life. That means that they're just ever growing. On grace on top of grace and peace on top of peace. And he says it's in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. The second reason that this is important is found in verse 3. All things given to us pertaining to life and godliness come through this same knowledge. You can't have life that God intended for you to have and these qualities or this life and godliness, you can't have all that without this group of attributes that we need to grow and abound in. And if you'll notice, it says in verse 8, if these things are yours and you abound in them. All things pertaining to life and God. This life here is referring to spiritual life and spiritual well-being. You can live a physical life without all this. You can exist on this planet without God's peace, without God's grace. It might not be very much fun. You might not like it, but you can exist physically without it. But to have the spiritual life that God would like for you to have, that he's made available to you, comes through this knowledge of Jesus Christ, this life and godliness. Don't know how to be godly unless you learn how to be godly from the scriptures. As we grow in this grace and knowledge, the only way to really enjoy this full life that's available to us is by abounding in these qualities or in these graces. It includes, in verse 4, exceedingly great and precious promises. Do we realize, I wonder, how really great and precious the promises God has made us really are? He has promised that because of the death of his son, you can have eternal life instead of eternal damnation and eternal death. What a promise. It hadn't come true yet. You're in the process of gaining eternal life. But the promises and the end result, the end result of all this is living forever with God in heaven. Eternal life. That's a promise. A great promise and a special promise. It's special because it's only for certain people. Those who have been obedient to the gospel. Those who have been obedient to the commands and the will of Christ and of God. If you're not at this point in your life obedient to the gospel, if you've never been, if you're not being obedient in your life to the will of God and the commands of Christ, then these exceeding great and special promises or precious promises, you really don't realize them. And you can't realize them because they're for a particular people. It enables us to be partakers, also in verse 4, partakers of the divine nature. Could you really think that you and I can be partakers of the divine nature? It says so right there. Look at verse 4. By which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these great and precious promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature. You can be part of that divine nature that is Christ himself by being godly, having that character of godliness in your life, of being able to have self-control in your life and to do what God would have you to do. And it can free us from the rest of verse 4, which is escaping the corruption that is in the world through lust. That doesn't paint a very pretty picture, does it? The world is full of corruption. That should be no secret. Unless you've been living in a cave somewhere for the last 5-10 years, you know the world is full of corruption. And the corruption exists because of lust. Lust of the eye, lust of life, pride of life, all those things. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, lust, 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 lust. We can be free from all that through this knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not just knowing Jesus Christ, but the knowledge of who he really is, who he really was when he was on this earth. He had these characteristics. Go back and look at these characteristics from verse 5 through verse 7. That was Jesus. That's who he was when he was living here. And that's who he is today. But so much more. The next reason this is important is verse 9. We talked about this once before in our series. Do you know what myopia is? Myopia, however you pronounce it, M-Y-O-P-I-A. Myopia is a miscalculation of the eye that allows something far off to focus in front of the retina instead of on the retina. Your eye is supposed to be designed that the distant objects focus on your retina, and that brings them into a clear perspective. Well, myopia is a sense that you don't do that. You focus before it gets to the retina, and it's fuzzy. It's not clear. Look what Peter says in verse 9. For he who lacks these things, he who lacks these spiritual qualities is short-sighted. That's what we call that, myopia, short-sightedness or nearsightedness. Even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. See, if we fail to grow ourselves in these qualities that are Christ-like and godly qualities, it's usually because we have become myopic or we have spiritual amnesia and forgotten who we once were. Now, again, I'll say this. If you're not a child of God, if you've not been obedient to the gospel, if you've not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, these qualities have not even begun to grow in you yet in the way God would have them to grow. So the forgetting that you were once a character of sin, that you've been forgiven of those sins, been washed clean, that doesn't mean you this morning until you have been washed clean. But for those who have been obedient to the gospel and baptized for the forgiveness of your sins in the past, let's never forget who we once were, because that should be the springboard for our desire to grow in these characteristics of godliness that we're seeing here. How great of a thing is it in your life that you were once dirty? God turned his face away from you, but now you can be seen as justified, saved, in the process of earning or gaining your salvation. Excuse me, you can't earn it, but gaining your salvation. Because of the gift of life that Christ gave you when he died on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine, and then the opportunity we have been able to grow in these same characteristics. What a wonderful thing it is. And let us never forget where we came from. That's what has to do with verse 9, that he's even forgot that he was cleansed from his old sins. Knowing that ought to give us all reason to grow closer to God through these qualities that are explained here. You'll turn with me over to, leave your finger there at 2 Peter. Let's turn over to Romans chapter 9, or excuse me, chapter 8 just briefly. Romans chapter 8 at verse 29. Paul has something to say along this line that I think is very pointed to our study this morning. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Paul talks about, in this particular passage, about God's foreknowing those who would be found faithful, those who would be found justified, those who would be obedient to the gospel of Christ. He foreknew that. He knew that way a long time ago, even before the creation, as Paul explains in this passage. And in verse 29, he says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." It is God's will that those who will be found faithful and justified and so forth and have that salvation for all eternity will be those who he already knows will have been conformed to the image of his Son. That means you and I have something to do. It is a lifelong process and a lifelong work in progress for us to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. It's not something we do today and forget about tomorrow. It's not something we can do this week and forget about next month. It is a day-to-day, lifelong work in progress. And if that's not you, then you're missing the boat. If you're not working on these things day by day, a more abounding in these graces explained in 2 Peter, if your diligence, your faith, your virtue and knowledge, your self-control, your perseverance, your godliness, brotherly kindness, and love are suffering, then you're missing an opportunity to grow closer to God on a daily basis and to be more bounding and bountiful in these qualities. That's what God wishes for you in your life. That's what he wishes for all of us. Failure to grow indicates that we've forgotten that we were redeemed by the very blood of Christ that was given up on Calvary's cross for that same purpose. Another reason that this is important is seen in verse 10. This may be the biggest reason of all. In verse 10, he says, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if these things are yours, if you do these things, you will never stumble." Now, that doesn't mean that you won't make itty-bitty boo-boos in the meantime. That doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. That doesn't mean that you'll never sin. That doesn't mean that you're always going to be perfect in God's sight. That word stumble in the Greek language has to do with the big stumble. You've heard me say that before. The falling away. If you do these things, you will never fall away. How could you fall away if you're continually trying to abide as much as you can abide in these graces? with gaining this personality and character traits in your life, how could you fall away? If you're about these things, look at them again. Verse 5. You do realize we're building all this on top of our faith, in addition to our faith. We're adding knowledge, virtue, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. If those are your qualities that describe your personality in Christ, then how could you fall away? Unless you forget those qualities and forget and stop working to be diligently abounding in them. Notice the word diligent. It appears a couple of times. It doesn't mean that once we have those qualities, that's all of it. It means we have to diligently continue to abound in them. And when we do that, folks, it's hard to fall away. The ones that fall away forget these qualities. They forget to be diligent. They forget to abound in them. And worldliness, those lustful things, take over. It's when that happens that folks fall away. The next reason is found in verse 11. An entrance to the everlasting kingdom will be abundantly applied. Let's read verse 11. Far so, if you do these things in verse 10, you'll never stumble. Far so, or in that manner, or because of those reasons, an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If I ask you this morning how many would like to have an abundant entrance into that kingdom, I'm sure that most everyone, if not everyone, would raise the hand in affirmation of that point. I want that abundant entrance. Don't give me this little bitty pinhole to come through. I want an abundant entrance. That abundant entrance has to do with that triumphant entry. Much similar to Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem on that day that we read about. But what a triumph it will be on that day. If we're found faithful, if we're found obedient, if we're found justified, redeemed, what a triumphal entry it'll be into the kingdom of heaven for all of eternity. Don't want to miss that. But look at what Peter says. If you do these things. That abundant entrance is contingent upon doing these things. Doing what things? Adding to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, etc. If you do these things. Now, the opposite of that is if you do not do these things, there will be no abundant entrance applied to you. Entrance, probably very slim to none at all if you do not do these things. There'll be a lot of folks surprised on the day of judgment that they don't get that abundant entrance because they failed to do these things. I could go on about this for days. You probably wouldn't be happy if I did that. But do you understand how important this passage is? We talked about it for several weeks. We took a week or took a sermon on each one of those qualities and then one before and one after. So we had about 10 sermons, 10 lessons that were given just to this passage here in the past. They're still as important today as they were when we talked about each one of them individually. And they all must work in conjunction with each other. Let me ask you some questions. These are fair questions. You might not like the questions, but they're very, very fair for each one of us. Every one of us ought to ask ourselves these four questions. First question, which of these graces do you think you've developed the best? Look at them again. When you have time, I suggest this afternoon, as soon as you get through with lunch, which of those graces have you developed in your life so far the best? Contrary question is, which of those graces are you more lacking in than the others? So we all tend to have a little bit more kindness than love. We all tend to have a little bit more of one trait than the other. Maybe a couple more. We're lacking in some because we're not perfect. We're not complete yet. We're not mature yet. That doesn't mean you're not of age to be mature. It just means we're not mature as God sees us yet. So these qualities, if you have some that are better than others and more dominant in your life than others, build on the ones that are lacking. They all ought to be pretty well equal in our lives according to what Peter says here. Add to. Next question, do you feel that you're making progress in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Are you continually growing closer to Christ, growing more knowledgeable of not just the fact that he lived here and was died on a cross at Calvary and was buried and was raised, not just knowing those things, but actually knowing, having personal knowledge and relationship with Christ? Do you feel like you feel like you're there? And are you making progress in that? And if not, fourth question, if not, what do you need to do individually to begin making that progress in knowing Christ? See, all of us are on different levels in all those questions. Some of you are here and some of you are there. Don't know where you are. You know. God knows. That's what matters. They're fair questions. So we make the application to finish up the lesson this morning. We must never forget some things. First of all, I think I've already said, we must never forget what we've experienced in the past in verse 9, that we've been cleansed from our old sins. Never forget that. I don't know how we could forget that, because now God can look upon us when before he couldn't look at us at all. And the only reason I say that he can look on us is because of the sacrifice of Christ, not because of anything we've done. We'll never be to where God could glance upon us because we have sin in our life. But because of the Christ and the cleansing blood of Jesus, we all can have that blessing, beneficial blessing of being found justified. Let's never forget that we've escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Well, not ever forget what we experience in the now. Those things that are in verses 2, 3, 4, 10, and 11, grace and peace multiplied. You have more grace and peace multiplied than you did before you became a Christian, and you ought to feel like you're growing in those, and they're abounding and multiplying in your life. That's happening now. All things pertain to life and godliness are yours now. You're able to participate in the divine nature now. You're in the process, I hope, of making your calling and election sure now, verse 10. And in verse 11, doing these things, you'll never fall away. You'll never stumble, that big stumble. So let's not forget the things that have happened to us in the past that we've experienced. Let's not forget the things we're experiencing now. Let's always keep them ever present in our thoughts. And plus, what's happening in the future. We should never forget what's going to happen at one point someday if we're faithful to all this. That being found in verse 5, in verse 4, that we have been given great and exceeding promises. And an abundant entrance of everlasting kingdom will be applied to us at one point one day. What a blessing God has given us in all this preparation before the foundations of the world, in the mind of God. All this was established before let there be, before in the beginning God created. What a wonderful God we serve to have. Could you have worked out all this in your mind? No. How many of you would give in your only son for the sacrifice of the rest of the world, knowing that the majority of the rest of the world would just thumb their nose at it? Look the other way. Think it was silly. What a wonderful God we serve. What a mind he has. What a blessing it is to be called his child. We got to make an effort. It does not happen. Again, look at the word diligence. It appears a couple times. Be diligent to, with all diligence, Peter said. That was the very first thing he started with in verse 5. Giving all diligence. Do you feel like you've been giving all diligence to this process of growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? I think we're really lax in that area. I think our diligence is suffering sometimes. But it must not be. We must make a diligent effort to grow in the knowledge of Christ. We must develop by these graces that are apt to all of us. We must grow a Christ-like nature and Christ-like character if we're going to be pleasing to God. And if we're not found pleasing to God, if we don't strive for a closer walk with God, then what will we hear at the judgment? I gave you an opportunity, but you didn't take it. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never taken an opportunity to be faithful in obedience to the gospel of Christ. Maybe you're not sure about that at all. Maybe you're not sure what the gospel of Christ is. Maybe you're not sure how to be obedient to it. The Bible tells you what all that is about. The Bible, we can guide you through the Bible to let you know what Paul and Peter and Jesus and God have all said about the gospel, and it's necessary to be obedient to it. Maybe you're, as a Christian this morning, you're not exactly sure about your walk with God. Maybe there's issues, questions, I don't know. If there's anything, we're going to sing a song in a minute that Jared's chosen, song number 902, Nothing But the Blood, which brings up the statement, nothing but the blood can cleanse you of your sin, past, present, or future. Nothing but the blood of Christ can cause you to be justified where God is pleased enough to give you an abundant entrance into the heavenly kingdom. He's given us the knowledge through his word. He's given us the knowledge through his son. What else could he do except to beg and plead every hour, every day, that you'd be obedient to his will, his wishes, his divine nature, his commands, his gospel. You have an opportunity again this morning. Some of you may have passed that opportunity up numerous Sundays, numerous Wednesdays, numerous days in your life. Don't let the opportunity go by again this morning. If you need to be obedient to the gospel, do it now. Why would you wait? What if Jesus came back tomorrow? Would you be ready? Do you even know if you'd be ready or not? I fear some don't. I fear some don't really understand that. If you think you're not ready, I'm going to challenge you. If you think you're not ready, if you think the outside chance of possibility is that if he came back tomorrow, you would not be ready or found faithful, then take the opportunity to make that right this morning. And we'll help you do whatever you need to do. Pray, study, whatever it is. If you think you're perfect, you might not need to respond this morning. How's that for a challenge? We ought to have enough room on these front two pews for everybody this morning. But I think some won't come. While we stand, let's see.